Shouts of joy! Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shalom, Chavarim, to all our listeners locally on 1220 AM radio or live on the net at WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, missionaries to the church to help them move out of the lukewarm, rule-by-the-people Laodicean church into the Jesus-expectors of the Philadelphia church, especially in today's world of deception and apostasy. The Word must be your priority and passion, and we want to help you demystify some of the more difficult passages by using very basic Hebraic roots taught by our first century fathers, especially about the end times, because we are sure in them, aren't we? And tonight, we will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Joel. And a reminder, you can re-listen to this teaching later this week, as well as other programs. A wealth of biblical information right there at shofarministries.net. And I think we'll begin with a prayer tonight, as we always do. And we have some things going on, a lot of very important prayer requests we have coming into our through our phones and through our emails. So, Father, Abba, we just open our lips so that we can speak your word and praise you. We're all here today and living and breathing because your grace and mercy has saved us. And Lord, it says in your word, if you should mark iniquity, who could stand? And we couldn't stand before you, Lord, today, if Jesus' blood didn't cover us. And today we lift up families who are experiencing the loss of a parent. And it's hard to watch, whether it's a slow process or quick. And just we would ask that you comfort those children and extend your grace to unsaved parents. And open our hearts, Lord, to your word from the prophet Joel. And as always, we gratefully thank you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
Tada Rabbah and Shalom to all of you joining us live right here tonight and every Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Yes, and it's a great time to be here. I'm glad you're with us.
Me too.
Yeah. Hey, before we get back in the book of Joel, I know you have something. You have something to say about Egypt, Israel, and Washington. What is it?
I do. Well, probably already all know this, but Israel was really taken aback yesterday by the news of Obama's invitation to the new Egyptian president of the Muslim Brotherhood, Morsi, depending on what paper you're reading, to visit Washington in September. Now, this is a direct breach of the president's assurances and promises to Israel and especially the American Jewish people here. He said that Morsi would not be invited to the White House and Obama would not even maintain direct telephone contact with him until he made a public and unambiguous commitment to Egypt's 1979 peace treaty with Israel and to secure the peace pact with Israel by ratification in the new Egyptian parliament.
So you'll have more about this and some other stuff too.
I'm going to expound on that in the next newsletter, but I just feel so
I know. When I saw that in the news,
over and over again, he keeps disappointing him. And anyway, as far as Syria goes, my goodness, the fighting keeps continuing. There are around 18,000 deaths now. But new UN peace talks are supposedly underway with Kofi Annan from the UN. And I don't know what will happen with that. I really don't think much because Assad is not going to give up.
No.
And yet I know that's what Obama and Hillary want because they want the Muslim Brotherhood everywhere. So they're going to do whatever they can. But Assad will finally leave. One way or another. But he's hanging in there. He has a new appointed younger army now. And he's still getting aid from Russia and Iran, but I understand they're supposedly, Russia and Iran, getting pressure to stop. Now, I don't know how you're going to pressure Iran to stop helping Syria. I think that's a huge joke, but they're doing it. Now, Russia, I could see maybe, coming down a little bit, just because they want to stay popular. But to go to talk to Iran about stopping Syria? No way. They need Syria, like, really bad.
Yeah, Syria's strategic.
So anyway, that's about all the news I'm going to say.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
This looks like a Muslim takeover of the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is?
Well, it certainly seems to be, doesn't it?
It sure does. It looks like.
And we even have Muslims already, and I'm not saying all Muslims are radical. That's not what I'm saying, but we have them in Congress, and you know, all over the place.
Well, that's something. That's a whole other show there. Well, we better
pray for them. They need to be saved.
Yes, please pray for them.
Find the real Jesus.
And a lot of them are, thank God.
Thank goodness. Yep. They're seeing dreams and visions. Did you know that, John?
Yeah,
We're going to talk about that tonight.
We should talk about it.
We are.
Well, let's get into our study then. We're still in chapter 2, and I'll do a quick review
for
you.
Will you do that for
me?
Thank
you. I'll do that for you and for those listening tonight. In chapter 1, approximately 800 B.C., the land of Judah had just experienced from God a horrendous and devastating divine judgment for their blatant sin. And the judgment was locusts, drought, and widespread fire that devoured the open pastures. And Joel uses this judgment now to prophesy the future. And it's similar, but this time it's very demonic and way more catastrophic for the end of days. At which, by the way, begins with a trumpet and a shout. A huge gold nugget was seen with the help of Isaiah 26 last week. That at the resurrection rapture, the bride enter into our bridal chamber of heaven until the indignation is past. And that's right out of Isaiah 26. Enter into our bridal chamber of heaven until the indignation is past. When we come out of the cheder, that's in chapter 2, verse 16, and come back to earth with Jesus to finish the judgment that he began 7 years before when he opened the sealed scroll in heaven. And that's, you can find in Revelation 5. Now, last week, the highlight, I think, was understanding the two major reigns in Israel. And that's a type of Jesus' first and second comings. And that's confirmed in Hosea as well. Anyhow, we've discussed all this in detail. I encourage you, go to the radio podcast archives at shofarministries.net and catch up with all the details of this great book.
That was a great review, John.
Thank you.
You have got all your ducks in a row and just did that well.
Thank you very much.
Okay. But yeah, there is a lot to glean as far as the details of his return. And I hope that you are all learning and being stirred up to want more of the meat that Paul says we really need to be on. And this, of course, takes you out of the lukewarm, because I'm always saying get out of that lukewarm stage, and into anxiously awaiting him. As Hebrews also states, we need to be, and that's in chapter 9, verse 28. And I'm going to read it here for you because it's important to know. It says, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and to those who are eagerly waiting for him, he will appear a second time, not for sin this time, apart from sin, for salvation. And that word salvation is number 4991, soteria, and it really means for deliverance,
for deliverance,
or rescue.
And I think most scholars would agree with you on that one.
I think they do.
Yep.
So he's going to appear a second time to rescue us. Isn't that great?
Yes, it
but
is.
But there's even a better one in the next chapter of Hebrews 10:25. That says, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Boy, we're seeing that today. Hardly anyone's really caring about assembling together. Now, I'm not saying you have to go to church, but you need to get together with Christians and talk about the Lord and share what you've learned during the week, during your studies.
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
It is very important.
And then it goes on and says, exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Why did you say it like that?
Because I want you to all see that you can see the day approaching.
You want us to see that you can see.
Yes.
The day approaching, the day being the day of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that's how it should be.
Yes. Yes, we can see it, and we know it's coming soon.
Ooh.
And tonight we're going to...
That makes us happy.
It makes me happy.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I know everybody says, oh, with my loved ones, and I understand that because I've got them too. But it might be the tribulation that'll wake them up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? So
I think
it's better to do it now before they die.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know, because I think the rapture will be, eyes will be opened, and they'll say, whoops.
Yeah, big time.
You know?
That'll be a big.
Yeah. But if we stay for more years and more years, and then they die, then they might never get saved. So we want the rapture as a sign to the unbelievers.
Not only do we want it, there has to be one. But we'll find out about that later, right?
Yes. Okay, John, let's get right into it by reading in chapter 2 where we left off last week, which is in verse 25. And I wish you would read 26 along with that, where now we're going to see God giving them hope of a future restoration.
Okay, this is Israel's hope. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent among you. God's great army. That's his army. Verse 26, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord. That's Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Your God, Elohim, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. And that should read again? Or
again, I think it means too. Yeah.
Okay.
But he reminds them that, of course, it's his great army, and it will be again in the tribulation, and confirms that again in 27. So you're going to hear something similar. Would you read 27 as well?
Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, or I should read it, that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Put to shame.
Right. So he says it twice. So when you say something twice, you really mean it.
Yes.
And, of course, that's going to happen during the millennial kingdom. That's the future promise for sure, that they will never have to be ashamed again.
Oh, okay. So they're not going to be ashamed ever again.
Nope.
No. So they're going to be locked in after the tribulation. They're going to be locked in like we will be.
That's right. Can you read verse 28?
28. And it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions.
That's right. And boy, is that not true.
That's a familiar verse to a lot of us because we've read that over and over in the New Testament in Peter.
And in a minute, we're going to read that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do want to point out, too, that it says, and it shall come to pass afterward. That's kind of an expression that most scholars will tell you means the end of the days. But not only, you know, days 5 and 6, which is where we're at now. We're in almost at the end of 6,000 years. But also probably includes day 7 in the millennial kingdom, because during the millennial kingdom, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh as well. And they will still prophesy, and they will still dream dreams and see visions. And that word is a special Hebrew word, and it just does mean the end of days. Mm-hmm. But it can include day 7, and I think that's important to know.
That is important.
Yeah.
So the miracles keep continuing.
That's right. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, Peter actually quotes Joel, making it clearer that these signs were for the last days after Jesus came.
Mm-hmm.
So he clarifies that, and I'd like you to read Acts 2, verses 17 and 18.
Okay, and here's where it's the familiar part. And here's how he says it. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy.
That's right. And then we're going to see, going back to Joel verse 29, in chapter 2, you're going to see the same thing. Can you just read that one line there?
Yes, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so we have Old Testament and New Testament saying the same thing. And basically that we're just going to be so filled with the Holy Spirit, and even more so, of course, the people will after the millennial kingdom begins.
That sounds like fun to me.
Yeah. Of course, we're going to be up in heaven. We're going to be the queen.
Oh.
You know, and then when we come down to earth, we won't have to be filled anymore because we're going to have, you know, new bodies and, you know, we will have all this already. But I'm talking about the human beings that are going to be in the millennial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That means all the Jews, 144,000, all the tribulation saints that make it through, they will all be full of the Spirit in those days.
Oh, nice.
So, again, just referring back to days 5, 6, and 7, the end of the week of each day being 1,000 years. And by the way, if you're maybe new to this show and you really haven't gotten the In That Day teaching, you might want to go to my archives on shofarministries.net,
mm-hmm.
go to the left side of the page, hit Radio Podcast, and they will all be listed there. But July 3rd, 2010, I go into detail about In That Day and what it really means. And you really need that concept and understanding for you to grasp what's going on in the Word of God, especially end time prophecy. It will help you immensely, I promise you. So I encourage you to do that. But we have been blessed with exactly what Joel prophesied would occur, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
You know, and I believe that a lot of reasons that the Muslims are getting saved, and Jewish people as well, is because of visions that they're seeing. You know, Jesus is showing up.
Yes.
He really is.
I believe so.
Now, unfortunately, as with any good thing, comes the enemy to pervert it. And we are seeing it highly abused today, these gifts, as we get close to his calling us up to meet him in the air. But when you have discernment, you should be able to tell the difference.
Where do you get discernment?
I was going to ask you that. Hebrews 5 says we get it from the Word by reason of use.
Ah.
Spending time. But I do want to point out, too, that at the rapture, at that moment, total spiritual darkness occurs.
Total.
Yeah, because everybody righteous will be gone. Right?
Hmm. Yeah, that would mean there's no light.
No, no spiritual light at all.
Hmm.
But that's what Satan needs, and that's going to be just long enough for him to receive his total demonic powers to do what he needs to do. And again, a major reason why we actually have to leave the earth, because right now we are restraining those powers from fruition. And Thessalonians is very clear about that, that we are restraining. We are the light.
And we're the wet blanket on Satan's hellfire,
so
too.
So far, yeah.
Yeah.
We certainly are.
So we're light. And now, don't you have some scripture to back that up about the total darkness being a necessity?
Oh, let me think. Let me think. I think I do. Isn't it in Amos?
I think it is.
Amos 5:20.
Did I set you up there?
Yeah, you did. That's good, though.
All right.
It says, is not the day of the Lord darkness? Now, the very first day of the Lord will be total darkness. And it says, and not light. It is very dark with no brightness in it. No, N-O.
Nice.
Brightness. So, the lightness, the light has to leave.
Yes, it does. Where does the light, where is the light now? It's in us.
Yes, it is.
It's because we're, you know, you're saved, you're born again, you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you know, you're on your way to heaven. You're a light.
We are the light.
We are the light, and your friends and your pastors and some of your rabbis, and we're all going to be gone, and we're the light.
Mm-hmm. So when that darkness is total, that's what's going to give Satan his extra powers to do what he has to do. Now, this scripture alone, and this is an Old Testament scripture here, you know, it's not a New Testament thing. This has been around for a long time, the rapture, by the way. Hello, hello.
Mm-hmm.
If you know someone that still believes that we're going to be here for the tribulation, just show them Amos 5:20.
Oh, yeah. That's not one of my favorites, but that's a good one.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm only going to give you a couple more because there's actually quite a few, but in Micah 7:2, it says, the faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. No one upright. No one righteous. Now that, how could that be? We would have to leave. Wouldn't we?
Yeah, the righteous would have to leave.
Yeah.
Exactly. There could be none. There couldn't even be one, it seems.
That's
like.
Right.
Hmm. And what is a righteous person by definition?
Saved.
Okay. It's not our righteousness, is it?
No. No, it's his righteousness.
That's right.
Yeah, but cool. There's no one upright among men mm-hmm. that can only be at the rapture. You know, people say, well, God can protect us down on earth. Yeah, of course he can. He can do anything he wants. But there's going to be a lot of fire. There's going to be radiation. You know, he wants us out of the way. Mm-hmm. Totally. This is how he's chosen, and he's got scripture to back it up. Then we've got Psalm 12, verse 1. It says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. The faithful disappear. Hello? I don't know how it can be any more plain.
I know.
The godly man ceases. There's a point where we're gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a time appointed for everything, and I believe mm-hmm. there's a time appointed for this event as well.
Absolutely, and God mm-hmm. knows when it is, and he's already got it set.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't know when that is. I wish he would tell me, but, you know, he says he'll give us some signs. So let's look for them, and we can see some more. We're going to talk about it tonight.
Okay.
One more, though.
This is my favorite.
Oh, okay.
First Thessalonians, right?
Could I do one more in Old Testament first?
Oh, yeah, do another.
Okay.
I'm so anxious to get my
favorite one.
I
know. Isaiah 57:1 says, the righteous vanish. Some Bibles might say perish, but the word is abad, number 6, and it means vanish. So the righteous vanish, and no one takes it to heart, that merciful men are taken away. And again, no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil.
That's the words of Isaiah.
That's right. So it's like, I know that's going to be true, because when the rapture happens, people are going to have excuses, and most of them won't realize that it's because we're being taken away from the evil that's on the earth, and we're already seeing that evil already.
Oh, yes.
It's immorality is huge.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
If you don't think things are getting worse, your head is in the sand, because evil is getting more intense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always
really
been
is.
Evil, but it's getting evil-er, if that's really a word. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:4, can I do it?
Yes.
But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day of the Lord should overtake you as a thief.
Right.
It actually says day, doesn't it? Or so that day, or does it say the day of the Lord? Shall not overtake you as a thief. And he goes on to say, because we're children of light.
That's
not
right.
Of the darkness.
And we can't be here when the darkness takes over.
Why? Because we're light.
That's right.
Yeah, he says we are children of light.
Yes. Yay.
Yay.
When I go in a dark room, it all lights up.
Yeah. Jesus is the light of the world. We have his light. And like we're like moons. He's the sun. And we're the moons reflecting.
Oh, now don't
light.
Jump the gun here.
No, I'm not.
We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
But you know what? We need to take a quick break.
So soon.
So let's do that.
Okay. We'll go to a break here. Let me remind you, though, your donations are tax deductible, and they're very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
And they really are.
Yeah, they are. Your donations keep us on the air. And you can use PayPal on our website, or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. All donations automatically get you on Sheila's informative newsletter list, so include your email address as well if you have one. And be sure to check out the webpage now. All newsletters and previous radio shows are there archived. And we should mention the phones are going to be open. The numbers for your end time questions. 888-677-WORD, that's 888-677-9673. Stay with us now. We'll be back to the Book of Joel, and you're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour.
And we're going to have a song.
And a song.
Be part of the AM 1220 The Word's Ministry Flash Mob. During July, you along with other listeners will join together in support of Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Listen for special days of the month when we'll alert you that it's time for a Ministry Flash Mob. Then join fellow listeners at WHKWRadio.com as we show our support for Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. See our Facebook, Twitter, and website for the latest on the Ministry Flash Mob. And be sure to sign up for a chance to win a $50 gift card from TGI Fridays at WHKWRadio.com.
Safe Flight Repair, Safe Flight Replace. Ryan, technician with Safelite Auto Glass.
So you think all auto glass companies are the same? Well, they're not. With Safelite, you get more. Every windshield we replace is backed by a national lifetime guarantee, keeping you covered wherever you are. Plus, Safelite has more glass in stock than anyone, so we can get to you faster.
Just tell your insurance company you want Safelite, or call us at 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelite.com.
Through the Bible is our Ministry of the Month here on WHKW AM 1220 The Word. And today we continue our conversation with Steve Swetz.
Is there an area that you'd really like to get into that you've had a hard time getting into?
One is in the French language. We've had a hard time getting, as most people know, much of Europe is spiritually a desert.
Yeah.
And France has been a real challenge to get into, and we now have a producer who is in production on the French language, and we are broadcasting into France. But that would be one area in particular that we would like to see. Obviously, we want to see the Holy Spirit move across the globe, but in one area that we would love to see strong response would be in the French language.
Through the Bible is our Ministry of the Month. Now, to contact Through the Bible, just call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Their website is ttb.org. And be sure to listen to Through the Bible, weekday mornings at 6, here on AM 1220, The Word.
Speaking peace to me. No longer broken hearted, now I am not afraid. God's just getting started, I know He'll make a way.
Yeah, I was skeptical, I admit.
I was skeptical,
but the words and that catchy.
Yeah.
Catchy
it
too.
Ain't
slinky.
Gonna worry me long.
And, you know, run to Jesus. You know, you know, some people
run.
Don't. Well, they think you're running back to Jesus. You're not. You actually, when you run to Jesus, you're running forward. You're going forward
right.
When you do that.
And how do you run forward, John?
Well, you just get those little eyeballs of yours into the Word
that's
of God,
right.
And get your little brain into it, too.
It's really the only way, actually.
Yes, that's right.
And you know what? We don't People don't agree with that sometimes, but that's really the way.
Yep.
And we have to give our website information again.
Okay, well, let's see. We are at shofarministries.net.
That's right. You want to spell shofar?
Yeah. S-H-O-F-A-R.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what does shofar stand for, John?
We stand for what's right and what's true.
Stands for trumpet.
Yes, it
last
does.
Trumpet.
Last trumpet. Mm-hmm.
Shofarministries.net.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not .org, not .com.
Nope, just .net.
Like a fisherman's net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reshet in Hebrew, reshet.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, now the numbers for your end time questions, if you have any, and not a lot of people do because they say, I've been asking, well, how come you never call? He says, because we just want to keep listening to you.
I know they're thinking. Actually, they're cogitating on what's being said.
I know.
And that's a good sign.
Well, that's fine, too. But in case you are interested, the number is 888-677-WORD. That's 9673. 888-677-9673.
All right.
Okay.
And you all know that we're on every Tuesday night.
We are.
We are. 8 o'clock.
Yes, 8 o'clock. All right, we are going back to finish chapter 2, and we're going to actually discuss in quite some detail verse 31. But before we do that, John, I'm just going to ask you to read verses, well, just finish chapter 2. Would you do that? And then we'll go back and talk about verse 31.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting it here.
Okay.
Oh, I see. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls.
There's a lot there.
There sure is.
And we're going to kind of pick apart at least the sun and the blood moon. Hmm. I want to first mention about the dark sun. Of course, first thing that comes to mind are eclipses, because that's when the sun turns dark.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually when the moon passes between the earth and the sun. Okay, now there are a lot of eclipses from time to time, and there's different kinds. There's partial, there's total, there's annular or something like that, where just the outside shows of the sun, the penumbra or something.
Okay, so look, I don't want to interrupt you too much, but so when it says the sun is turned into darkness, this is not figurative. This is literal astronomical terminology,
yes.
Right?
Oh, yes, I'm sure it is.
It's they didn't have the word eclipse, so they said the sun would be turned into darkness.
That's right. And we're going to read in Genesis 1:14 here in a minute about how God put them up there not just for light but for signs.
Oh, okay.
So we'll talk about that in a second. But let me first explain the blood moon. So that's a term for the moon that looks reddish, and it has happened from time to time.
Now, astronomical term. I'm sorry. That's an astronomical term too, right?
Yeah.
Blood moon. I did not know that 2 weeks ago.
I know. I do know that.
Yes.
But this doesn't happen as often as the eclipses of the sun happen. But it is, again, looks reddish, and it has happened from time to time, but it's when the earth blocks the moon and drastically reduces the amount of sunlight reflecting from the surface of the moon. The moon has no reflection but from the sun, and I know that sounds silly because you learn that in school, but I know there's a lot of people that don't realize that the moon is not bright like that. It gets its light from the sun.
From the sun. Sort of like, well, do I sense some kind of typology here?
Should I?
Do we have a picture of something here?
We certainly do.
We do.
You know, at our new birth, when we become born again, we are like a new moon. And in fact, often, in Jewish terminology, a new moon was said to have been born again. Did you know that, John?
The moon was born again.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Well, there's one I didn't know either.
Yeah,
okay,
so anyway, and we become more full, because when we're first saved, we're like a new moon.
Oh,
just
you mean a little sliver, but we're really glowing, though.
Yes, and we become more full by how much of the sun we get, S-O-N.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, I suspect that when Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again, he might have easily been pointing to a new moon, which is why it was important that John noted to us in his gospel that it was at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
I often wondered about why it was so important because they said, you know, and it was night. And I thought, okay, why do I want to know this? Well, this is why, because he was probably pointing up to the new moon and said, like the new moon, you need to be born again. So, and you have to remember, Jesus often used his surroundings to help convey a truth. And since there will be spiritual darkness at the rapture, it would not surprise me if there was a solar eclipse that time as well.
Hmm.
Don't know, just throwing that out there.
Very possible.
But what a great picture. We are like the new moon, and for us to become reflective or full, we have to get Jesus, more of Jesus in, the sun. I just love that.
That is a good one. That is good. And let's find out a little bit more about these blood moons.
Yes, why don't you read that in Genesis 1, I think it's verse 14.
Okay, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, that's Oat, number 226, a signal of evidence, and seasons, and that's Moed, and we've heard that one before, 4150, and that means a fixed time or appointment, and for days and years. So,
yes.
So let them be for signs, seasons, and days.
Days and years. So it's not just shining up there nice. It's for a reason.
It's supposed to light the world up too, but it has some very great purposes for these heavenly
Absolutely.
Bodies. Yep.
And we're going to see here in a minute just what we're talking about, because there's information from the NASA Eclipse website that shows a rare occurrence of 4 blood moons in 2 successive years. Now, first of all, let me back up and tell you that this would mean 2 in 1 year and 2 more in the next year. So it'll be 2 and 2.
And that's rare?
It's rare.
That's rare. It sounds rare.
But it happened in 1949 and again in 1950. Now, isn't it interesting that Israel was restored to their land in 1948? So?
Hmm.
But and you could maybe overlook that a little and think of it as a coincidence or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened again in 1967 and again in 1968. And, of course, we know that Jerusalem was recaptured by Israel in 1967.
And that really does make me think God has something to do with that.
That is really amazing.
Yes,
I think. Okay, so now, are you a little bit curious as when that 2 years in a row of blood moons happens, the same thing? Well, then, is that a yes?
Yes.
You're shaking your head up and down, but nobody can hear you.
I bet a lot of people are shaking their heads up and down.
Right. Come on, tell me.
Yeah, when are we going to see this thing?
Yeah, well, okay. The next time it occurs will be in 2014 and 2015. So we'll have 4 blood moons, 2 in 2014 and 2 in 2015, successive years. And here's the amazing thing. It will never occur again during the entire remainder of the 21st century. Do you think it could be significant, John?
I think
something big might happen in those years, or right after, or right before, or whatever.
Something big is going to happen.
Now, of course, God can always add more, okay? I'm not going to say that he couldn't do that. But what's interesting is that he often uses the natural elements as a teaching tool, and that's why Genesis 1:14 says, let them be as a sign, these lights, okay? So let's look at it as a sign and think, well, maybe something significant, maybe the rapture, maybe not, but certainly something to look at. And what's even more amazing is that these blood full moons are scheduled to take place on 2 feast days. Jewish feast days, I should say, appointments of God,
mm-hmm.
one on Passover and the other one in Tabernacles, in both years, in 2014 and 2015. This is incredible to me.
So they'll fall on Passover and Tabernacles in 2014 and 2015?
Right, which are the only feast days that have full moons.
That have... yes.
I don't, you know, it just kind of leaves me speechless.
Wow.
No, that's almost impossible, but...
That, we know that. But this is really significant.
This is
we
very significant.
We should really... Pay heed to this. This
yes.
is significant.
So, and as we've seen in 49:50 and then again in 67:68, history shows us something significant will most likely occur. And I think it's also interesting that it has something to do with Israel.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Could the tribulation start maybe in one of those years?
Could, perhaps.
You know?
And that would mean?
Jacob's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That really is for the Jews to get saved.
Yeah. And it seems to be more for a sign for them than it is for anybody else.
It could be. Mm. And since we just read in Joel 2:31 that there will be a blood moon before the day of the Lord, he said,
Well, that's right.
Before the day of the Lord.
Maybe one of those years could be a sign that the rapture might happen or something in those 2 years.
Well, and what's interesting is that if it happens on Passover and then again in Tabernacles, Passover could be the one before the day of the Lord because, as you know, we've always said that that day would probably begin in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the Bible points to that mm-hmm. in the fall, the harvest time.
The harvest picture, very big picture.
So if Joel says the blood moon could happen before the day of the Lord, then maybe that's the one on Passover. And then the next one will occur at Tabernacles, which could be right after the rapture, should the rapture occur on a feast day of maybe Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, and let's see, Revelation tells us as well there will be a blood moon in the beginning of the tribulation. As
it does.
One of the seal judgments.
In Revelation 6, in fact, mm-hmm. verse 12, when the seal judgments are opened, one right after the other, and then sometime... lapses before the judgment of the trumpets begin.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's also interesting that Revelation doesn't mention any more blood moons in the whole rest of the book of Revelation. So let's just say this again. Joel says that there's going to be a blood moon before the day of the Lord. Okay? And Revelation says there's going to be a blood moon in the beginning of the tribulation. Now, if you connect the dots... We've got the one in the spring, which could be before the tribulation begins, and then the one in the fall, which is Tabernacles, would be right after the tribulation begins. Maybe. I'm not saying it's a sure thing. I don't want to be caught in that camp, of course.
But it could.
But mm-hmm. This is what we do. This is what this ministry does. Stirs the people up so they'll do their own homework. Because when you do your own homework, you're studying the Word more. That's going to make Jesus grow in you, and you're going to have more wisdom. You're going to have discernment to tell the difference between good and evil. And that's what my ministry, I've been called to do, is just stir up the people.
And you're going to see the day approaching.
Yes, that's right. As John and I are seeing,
yes.
We get so excited because... We want Jesus to come back, and I hope that you feel that way, too. And if you don't, it could be that you don't have enough Jesus inside of you. And you can remedy that really quick.
How's that?
Just get in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do want to make mention, too, that Joel also says in verse 31 that there will be a darkened sun. And again, that could be an eclipse because they occur more often. And again, I was mentioning that there's different kinds, and also not all places will see the same eclipse. You know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it'll happen in one part of the earth and the other part won't see it. Or maybe because there's so much fire and smoke that Joel talks about, as you just read.
That could blot out the sun.
It could just blot it out itself. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to hone in too much on the eclipses of the sun, mm-hmm. except to say, because I just think you should know this information, that scientists are calling for two eclipses of the sun in 2015. But it's what's amazing is that it's on the first of Nisan, which is the biblical new year, and then again on the first of Tishrei, which is the civil new year.
Now that is beyond coincidence.
Again, it's
this is wild. You have done your homework.
I have. Boy, I've been reading. Oh my gosh. I feel like a scientist lately,
oh,
I'll tell you.
Wow.
But it's amazing because when Adam was created would be Tishri 1, and that's Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got through saying that if the rapture were to occur on a Rosh Hashanah, it would be very dark if there was a solar eclipse.
It would be dark, doubly dark, because the we being a light...
Are gone.
And then the sun eclipses.
Yeah.
Wow, now that would be a sign to me. If I were still here, that would really speak to my heart that something was up.
Right. So, again, I'm just throwing it out there. Do your own homework. Do what you think. I want to get people really excited to the fact that maybe we could be that close.
Mm-hmm.
Signs are showing that it could very well be.
As we see the day approaching.
Yes. I mean, people are talking about a world government, how our dollar is about to fall, and it just seems like everything's coming into place.
It sure is. It can only be that. And there's other prophetic evidence, and that supports solar eclipses of the sun, and they've often been associated with dark times in Israel.
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
That's what they say. So there are signs in the moon and the sun.
Okay.
You know, they have to do with... His coming, first coming, second coming, particular events, you know, Israel becoming a nation, Jerusalem being once again back in the hands
back
of
in
Israel.
The hands of Israel. Yeah. That's just I see this, now you see the pattern, and so I feel like I've come a long way, and I hope our listeners have in the last couple of weeks about understanding where we are on God's timetable.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand some astronomy as well. Blood moons. I know what an eclipse is, but I know what a blood moon is.
And, I know.
And
have you ever seen one?
I think I did see one since you brought this up, and I think it was years ago at a concert, an outdoor concert. And I was looking at the moon and not paying attention to the concert.
Yeah. I've never seen one myself.
Oh. Because it does look very odd.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very odd looking.
Hmm. Well, again, you just need to connect the dots, come to your own conclusions, do your own homework, remembering, too, that God can make an eclipse or a blood moon anytime he wants
to. Yes, he can. He can make the sun stop or the earth stand still as well, and, you know, that's not beyond his powers.
That's right. And I do want to just mention, I don't know how many out there have read The Harbinger. I think we mentioned it last week. Rabbi Kahn says that 2015 will be a very significant year as well.
Yeah, Rabbi Kahn, he wrote this book. It's a bestseller, I understand.
Right, Harbinger.
Harbinger.
And he talks about Isaiah 9.
Verse 10.
In
the Christian Bible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I looked at it, the Hebrew scripture. It doesn't work that way. But in Christian Bibles 9:10.
Okay. Well, anyway, you can get his book if you want to see the details on that.
Yeah, he hooks up some signs with some events in our recent history, 9/11 being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he hooks some signs up to those that are pretty, that'll get your attention.
Yes, yes.
It'll get your attention.
The main thing with all this information is that we're living in the end days. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is indisputable, as far as I can. If you're a Christian, you've got to be able to see this. Now, there are some people that maybe aren't where they need to be, and so they're not seeing it as much as we are, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But again, it really boils down to just lack of spending time in God's Word, because when you do that, He grows inside of you supernaturally so that you can understand Scripture better. You can get the understanding that He's fulfilling Scripture just like He said He would. Things are just happening right after one after another, one after another. Amen?
Amen to that. And
you really need discernment. If you don't study the Bible for anything other than just to be able to have discernment, did you know, John, that deception and apostasy in the church, is listed more times than any other end time sign of the times?
No.
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, the enemy isn't necessarily sitting on a bar stool.
Mm.
He's sitting in the church pew.
Wow.
Yeah, you know that.
Mm. Mm.
And he's trying to get people to, first of all, certainly trying to get him away from the Word of God. That's the main thing. And he'll keep him busy, 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 doing all kinds of things.
Well, that's it. You know, if you do try to study, and a lot of times when you, if you're going to make a recommitment to God and you start studying your Bible, one of the first things that will happen, guarantee, if you have a phone, it will ring right when you're just getting into it.
Oh, I know, all the time. You have to take your phone off the hook. That's the main thing. And like I've been telling people for a long time, you have to get your little day planner out every week. Go look at it and put down the times that you're going to spend time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then do not that's a date with God. Mm-hmm. Do not change that. No matter what your family says you need to do, you say, I'm sorry, I already made this appointment with God and I have to keep it.
Where do you start if you've been away from the Lord for a while and you want to get back into the Word? Do you just follow what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do or to read, or
get back in the Word,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be hard to hear from God. You have
mm-hmm.
to really get your senses exercised by being in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So I say read a little of the Old and a little of the New.
Mm-hmm.
You can start either with the Gospel of John if it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it hasn't, you just want to get more of Jesus in you, then I would start in Revelation, which is what I did. I know that sounds crazy.
Well,
but
you started at the end.
I did, because all the answers are in the back of the book. Did you ever read a textbook or, when you went to school? I always read the last chapter first.
I hope you didn't do that with mystery novels.
No, I don't. Well, sometimes I do.
Because it takes the mystery out of them. But we take the mystery out of a lot of these Bible passages that were before when I would try to read the Bible on my own and without understanding, without Hebraic roots, without a teacher.
Well, the main thing is just get in it. Doesn't really matter what you read. Just get in there, get the Holy Spirit moving, get Jesus growing, and then eventually you'll know what to read. The main thing is just get it in your spirit. Okay, and we have to close, and we have to say bye-bye.
We do have to say bye-bye, but we'll be back here next Tuesday, so don't fret. If you have never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, maybe you're concerned. You might be one of those that just have the head knowledge of Him and not really a true heart conviction. Okay, you open up the Bible, you're not understanding it. Here's what you do. Just get on your knees right now. Repent. That means turn from sin, and then turn towards God. That's what repent means.
Mm-hmm.
And you can repent of those sins that have been bothering you all your life, or you can repent of maybe one that's really causing you to...
It's a form of deliverance, too,
is
that repentance.
Mm-hmm. And just commit. Commit your life to Yeshua. Let Him put your trust in Him, okay? The Messiah of all. But always remember, it's your choice to choose Him, and that's your decision where you're going to spend eternity. Okay, do you have a question for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office, 440-834-9006. So.
We have to say goodbye, John.
We do have to say goodbye. Shall we leave you with the ironic blessing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yosem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom till next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word.